Hello, and thank you for joining this MedCast presentation entitled Paradigm Shift in Parkinson's Disease Diagnosis. I'm Dr. Stuart Isaacson, and I'm the director of the Parkinson's Disease and Movement Disorders Center of Boca Raton in Boca Raton, Florida.
Hi, and I'm Rajesh Pawa, professor of neurology and director of the Parkinson's Disease and Movement Disorders Center at the University of Kansas Medical Center, Kansas City, Kansas.
Today, we will discuss the diagnosis of Parkinson's disease. We'll discuss the importance of an early and an accurate diagnosis of Parkinson's disease, the role of alpha-synuclein in the diagnosis of synucleinopathies, and our approach to implementing screening protocols in our clinical practices. Thank you so much for joining us. And Raj, let's begin with the classical approach that we've used over the past decades and decades of diagnosing this progressive neurodegenerative disease. Can you describe how we have been doing it?
Yeah. So really, you know, we have been using, and even today, I would say we still talk about diagnosis of Parkinson's being clinical. We assess whether they have a resting tremor, if they have bradykinesia, is it unilateral onset, is it a progressive disorder? I think we get a little better over the years that after 5 years, the patient may be having motor fluctuations, patients may be having dyskinesias, patient may be having a progressive disorder, patients may not be having atypical features that would suggest an alternative diagnosis for them, which would be more suggestive of corticobasal degenerated PSP, maybe vascular Parkinsonism. But the thing is, we have still been using a clinical diagnosis, even though we do know, even in the best of our hands, in early stages, we might be incorrect about 25% of the time.
It's remarkable that we linchpin our diagnosis for our patients on a brief history and examination, often relying on cardinal motor manifestations, but often resting tremors not present, on the exclusion of red flags, which often come out several years later, on a levodopa response, which can be variable and not so predictable.
Even today, you know, like you said, I see patients where they said, my physician put me on levodopa and told me if I respond to levodopa, I have Parkinson's. If I don't, then I don't have Parkinson's disease. And we do know that even MSA patients can have a levodopa response early in the disease course.
Usually. So I think we begin to modify these clinical by saying we want to see bradykinesia with rigidity and or rest tremor. We want to see not only a robust, but a sustained response to levodopa or other dopaminergic agents. We want to see ongoing lack of red flags and other things. But we also recognize that Parkinson's disease begins 10 or 15 or 20 years before motor symptoms begin, with degeneration, synuclein degeneration, throughout the neuroaxis in parts of the brain that control sleep and wake and lead to REM sleep behavior disorder and GI dysmotility and constipation and loss of smell and perhaps mood and anxiety disorders and autonomic problems with orthostatic hypotension. And only later does motor symptoms emerge. So it's really become evident, not only from understanding better the progression and biology of the underlying neurodegeneration, but also all the different studies that have been done in the US and in Europe that really demonstrate that if you look at the early diagnosis of Parkinson's, it's often incorrect up to 25% of the time. That's 1 in 4 patients. And as the years go by, that the misdiagnosis obviously gets corrected, but that initial diagnosis is often wrong. So I think this idea of moving away from that classical clinical diagnosing that we can't really rely on to a biological diagnosis is really a paradigm shift and can provide our patients in 2024 something we could not provide them with a year or two ago. And that's a certain accurate and early diagnosis of Parkinson's disease that's now able to be made with the diagnostic tests that we have. So let's talk a bit about this. You've looked into this quite a bit. When does Parkinson's actually begin? And What role does alpha-synuclein play in our understanding of neurodegeneration in Parkinson's?
Yeah, that's such an important question. And the thing is, you know, when we see a patient, the patient most likely has had Parkinson's for 10 years or even longer by the time they present with their first motor sign. And, you know, patients have had loss of smell. And the thing is, unless some of them have formal smell tests, we do not know if they are losing smell. And some of them may go back and say, you know, yes, I'm a farmer, I work in the fields, and, you know, I stopped smelling stuff outside and I didn't even realize it. Then how often people develop constipation? A lot of these people go to a psychiatrist for anxiety and depression. All these are now we consider as premotor symptoms of Parkinson's disease. The REM sleep disorder is much more obvious because they are acting out their dreams. They may be hitting their partner. And that's a little bit more, our sleep specialists are much more educated now. So when they see a patient with REM sleep disorder, they are much more likely to discuss with them the risks of developing Parkinson's. So all these we consider premotor symptoms. And now that we look at BRAC staging, we feel that's really what was going on, starting in the brainstem, getting to the substantia nigra, getting to the cortex is what's really happening, the progression of synuclein degeneration that's happening. And until it hits the substantia nigra, they don't have the motor symptoms. And today, still, we can't make that diagnosis based on the diagnostic criteria until they have the motor symptoms. But I know, you know it too, that with the biomarkers, we can make some of these diagnoses much earlier today.
Yeah, now a biomarker is something that allows us to prognosticate or diagnose and tracks along with the underlying biology. For instance, we often will take a family history in clinic, but we can do gene testing to see if there's actually a gene. We can guess that there's a dopamine deficiency when we see Parkinsonism and try to gauge the response to levodopa, or we can measure the loss of dopamine neurons in the nigra by doing ioflupane molecular neuroimaging or DAT scan imaging, where we can identify the dopamine transporter on surviving nerve terminals that arise from neurons in the substantia nigra. So really, the DAT scan is a biomarker of the nigrostriatal dopaminergic system. And an abnormal DAT scan indicates nigrostriatal dopamine degeneration, and a normal DAT scan says there's no degeneration in the nigrostriatal pathway. And more recently, we're able to look at synuclein, which we'll talk a bit about in a moment. But before we do, I wanted to just highlight this idea that we are able to look at these non-motor prodromal symptoms as Parkinson's symptoms, reflecting Parkinson's degeneration, not just a risk of developing the disease. Maybe 10 or 15 years ago, we thought about REM sleep behavior disorder, that 40% of patients develop Parkinson's disease or another neurodegeneration, and it increases the risk. But actually, not that it increases the risk, but it actually is the underlying degeneration. So there's a lot of targets there to try to predict who and when will motor Parkinson's emerge, and how can we develop therapies to try to slow or prevent that from occurring. So it has a strong clinical tie. We look at gene testing because certain genes are more common, like the GBA gene and the LRRK2 gene. And not everybody with the gene develops Parkinson's, and we're trying to understand why. We can do DAT scan when we wonder whether there's nigrostriatal degeneration. And now we can do synuclein evaluation. And there's different ways of looking at synuclein. Raj?
So Stu, you know, we had the DAT scan available over 5 years now. And when the DAT scan first became available, there was a lot of pushback using the DAT scan because people still felt like, oh, I can diagnose Parkinson's clinically. I don't need a DAT scan. People who are using a DAT scan really don't know what they're doing. Then over time, we started having the genetic testing. And, you know, at least it's been 3-4 years we have been using genetic testing, and it's getting more and more common that we are using genetic testing. And now, as you said, we have other like a synuclein testing available, so to speak. So all these are actually helping us make a better diagnosis. I remember when I first started using a DAT scan, there were some cases I would have said, oh, this patient definitely has Parkinson's. And it was a humbling experience for me when the DAT scan did not go along with my clinical diagnosis. The genetic testing more made me aware that there are certain genes that actually behave differently, you know, in my patients that, okay, I saw a GBA that I may have clinically diagnosed as maybe Lewy body dementia. And then I say, oh, this patient actually has Parkinson's disease, except has a different gene. And then again, I think my next humbling thing has been some of the tests where we are looking as synuclein. And it's like, again, something which I would have said, definitely this patient has a synucleopathy. You get a test and say, oh, you know, thinking back and examining the patient even more closely, maybe the time has passed, but it's a humbling experience. So to me, people who still say that, oh, I can diagnose Parkinson's, I don't need any of these tests, are really not approaching Parkinson's disease correctly. And I think the more we do it, especially with the tests used in combination, we can diagnose it much more accurately today than the 75% that we talk about being correct clinically in the early diagnosis of PD.
Yeah, and you know, gene testing allows us to give personalized medicine approach to our patients. Someone has a GBA mutation with Parkinson's, we may avoid certain medicines that have a higher likelihood of cognitive or psychosis side effects. We might avoid surgery like DBS in somebody with GBA mutation that might have a higher risk of cognitive adverse outcomes. Someone has a LRRK2 gene, they may have a longer course, and we might choose our therapies in a personalized fashion. With the DAT scan, well, we begin to enter a precision medicine approach. Someone has Parkinsonism on examination. If you're not sure if they have a degeneration in the nigrostriatal pathway, maybe there's exposure to dopamine blocking agents like antipsychotics, maybe there's been vascular disease, maybe there's been other reasons to not know if they have nigrostriatal dopamine degeneration, a DAT scan can define that. And then with the synuclein assays, this is very interesting because we know that a synuclein degeneration is the cause of Parkinson's disease, of Lewy body dementia, or dementia with Lewy bodies, of multiple system atrophy, of pure autonomic failure. But PSP and cortical basal degeneration are not synucleinopathies, they're tauopathies, and have a problem with tau, a different protein. We can't tell those apart clinically until time goes on and it becomes evident when unusual and atypical symptoms continue to develop and a sustained response to medication wanes and is no longer present. But we could know early on using a synuclein evaluation. The SYN1 test is a test that was developed and supported by technology licensed from Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center in Boston, which is a Harvard Medical School affiliate. And this is a skin biopsy. It's a punch biopsy, and it's performed in clinic. We do it routinely in our center, and it involves three punch biopsies, one over the shoulder area, one in the thigh area, and one in the calf area. And these skin biopsies are sent to the lab, and we can get results. So it's been very helpful. And what it looks at is it looks at sensory and autonomic nerve fibers that are present in the skin biopsy. Raj, have you, you're performing this as well at your center?
Yes. You know, again, like I said, you know, over the years, we started using DAT scan first, then we started doing gene studies, and now we have started doing skin biopsies. I think the more we do it, the more comfortable we get. To me, you know, just initially reading about the synuclein skin biopsy, it was the high degree of specificity and sensitivity with which we can diagnose synucleopathies. To me, the other thing, it's a very easy procedure to do. Like I tell my patients, you just have a needle and it takes out a very tiny piece of skin. It's like a punch biopsy that we are doing. So it's an easy procedure. It doesn't take too long. You know, we get the results in a reasonable fashion about it. And it helps us differentiate, first of all, syn nucleopathies versus non-syn nucleopathies, such as tauopathies. But I think some of the recent data has suggested that we can also differentiate it from Parkinson's disease, from syn nucleopathies, such as multisystem atrophy and Lewy body dementia. And I'll tell you, in my personal experience, I have seen that differentiation in patients, depending upon if there was only the shoulder biopsy being positive, which is what we see in Parkinson's disease, or the shoulder and the ankle biopsy being positive, which we see with multiple system atrophy.
And the synuclein 1 study that was presented at this past Academy of Neurology meeting by Chris Gibbons really was very interesting, because as you point out, it showed a high sensitivity and high specificity for identifying a synucleinopathy by looking at the skin biopsy, but also the topography, whether it was more so in the shoulder than it was going distally towards the calf, or whether it was more in the calf than it was closer up in the shoulder, or whether it was even throughout the different three biopsies with deposition apparent, can help distinguish also with high specificity between Parkinson's disease, multiple system atrophy, and dementia with Lewy bodies. And we don't have great clinical ways of doing this. So it's very interesting nowadays that in 2024, not only can we identify in a personalized medicine approach whether a gene is present in Parkinson's disease, we can know with greater accuracy whether or not there's nigrostriatal dopamine degeneration and clarify that. And now we can distinguish whether it's a synuclein degeneration causing the nigrostriatal dopamine degeneration seen on DAT scan, or whether it's not a synuclein degeneration. And if it is a synuclein degeneration, we can distinguish between Parkinson's, MSA, and dementia with Lewy bodies. So I think that the diagnosis paradigm of Parkinson's disease is very different in 2024 than it was in, just a year or two ago. Now, not all of these tests are readily available across the country. DAT scan imaging has been used in Europe for over 20 years. In the States here, it was approved over 10 years ago. The SYN1 study, SYN1 test that's available is a test that is conducted by CND Life Sciences. They're a Medicare participating provider, and they have received reimbursement for the SYN1 test consistently from Medicare, but there's no formal coverage policy currently in place for skin-based alpha-synuclein testing. But CND, this company that has the SYN1 test, helps clinicians and patients determine expected benefits coverage prior to scheduling the skin biopsy. We do the same thing with the DAT scan. Gene testing we often do through research programs. So a lot of these things are becoming more accessible to patients, and I think we'll be able to have them more fully incorporated into a routine diagnostic strategy throughout the country as time goes on.
And Stu, it is not just my personal experience. And if you look at the literature, Gibbons and his colleagues have done a wonderful study where they looked at patients with MSA, Parkinson's disease, and healthy controls. And they had 31 MSA patients, 54 PD, and 24 controls. And they found that pretty much all patients with MSA and 51 out of 54 patients with PD did have evidence of phosphorylated alpha-synuclein in at least one skin biopsy. And then the other thing was also they found that patients with MSA had greater phosphorylated alpha-synuclein deposition and also more widespread deposition. To me, one of the issues when we got the DAT scan was people used to say, okay, well, yes, there is degeneration and that's all you're telling me. You're not telling me, is it atypical or typical PD? Now, I think with the skin biopsy, one, we can differentiate PD with MSA, plus we can differentiate a synucleopathy with a tauopathy. So to me, that's the other major advantage that we have had developing and using this test over the past couple of years.
Now, not all patients need all these tests. But if somebody wanted a more certain and accurate early diagnosis of Parkinson's disease, we can now do that in 2024. It's not for all patients, but if you wonder whether there's an underlying gene that might impact how we think about treating with different medications we have available or discussing with our patients the prognosis by knowing if one of the genes is present. If you wonder, is there or is there not degeneration in the nigrostriatal pathways? If you wonder whether there's a synuclein degeneration or not? If you wonder whether it's Parkinson's or MSA or Parkinson's or dementia with Lewy bodies, we now have a way to look at the biology and make it a clearer diagnosis. There are other assays for synuclein that are emerging that may become more commercially available. There's one for spinal fluid. Hopefully that may be applied to blood in the future. But right now, at least we have a way of looking more closely in a personalized and precision fashion to really make a diagnosis of Parkinson's disease. And hopefully using some of these in the future to track progression and be able to evaluate medications and therapies that we're testing to try to slow the progression of Parkinson's degeneration. And maybe these biomarkers can also help track that as well. So Raj, as we come to the end of this session, what would you like to convey to neurologists who maybe have heard about this, or maybe have used it once or twice or not used it at all, or wondering how to incorporate in their practices this way of thinking about the diagnosis, this paradigm shift of diagnosing Parkinson's with genes and with the DAT scan and now with the SYN1 skin biopsy test? Who would they think about using it on, and how would they go about doing it?
Right. So, you know, I look at it in two fashions. One of them is, like we have been repeatedly saying, that 75% of the time we can diagnose Parkinson's disease in early stages. I don't think this test is for those 75%. And by that, I mean people who clearly have a rest tremor, had unilateral onset, started the medication, they responded, they have had some progressive disease, which clearly have Parkinson's. It's really thinking about the remaining 25% where they may have some atypical features where we are not sure, is this Parkinson's disease? Is it MSA? Is it a tauopathy going on? And to me, using that test in such patients would help us give them a firm diagnosis. The other thing is today, you know, at least with the skin biopsy, I just send my information to the lab. They work with the insurance carrier getting it pre-approved, and they go back to the patient and say, this is what your out-of-pocket expenses are. And it's then we go ahead and do the biopsy and we get the results within a few weeks. So that's something that also I think works very well and helps us as clinician and the patients that they don't have to worry about unexpected out-of-pocket costs. The other thing I look at is the future. Now that we are talking that with these, we can diagnose them earlier and earlier, are we coming to a point in the Parkinson's disease is, first of all, looking at patients, do they have clinical symptoms or they don't? Then testing the gene and saying, are they positive for a gene or they're not? Do they have neurodegeneration based on a DAT scan or not? And do they have synucleopathy based on a skin biopsy or, like you said, a CSF or blood? So I think that's where the future is going, is actually tagging the patients depending upon what all is positive, rather than saying, yes, you have Parkinson's disease or not.
I think it's a real game changer. Patients have always reflected on that early diagnosis and the indecision and getting multiple opinions. How could you know I had Parkinson's by watching me walk? We're trying to explain the clinical symptoms and trying to explain the exam, all the while knowing that we're wrong one in four times. It's really a big shift now. We can now make an early, accurate, and more certain diagnosis. We can do this in patients that we need to do this in. We can do it over time. We recently looked at a group of patients who didn't have clear motor fluctuations at 5 years after a diagnosis, yet they reported a levodopa response. And we look at DAT scan imaging in that group. We found about 50% had normal DAT scans and didn't have Parkinson's. And I imagine as we begin to look at our patients with the SYN1 test, we're going to begin to find out that some patients who we think in the first couple of years of Parkinson's disease, but there's something maybe not going as usual, or maybe they're not responding as we, or they have other symptoms. Then we do the SYN1 test, we find out they don't have Parkinson's disease. They have another disease, whether it's a synucleinopathy, different synucleinopathy, or it's a different, not a synucleinopathy. So I think it's an emerging field, but I think the paradigm has shifted. I think the era of clinical diagnosis is something that's going to be replaced now with a more accurate, a certain, and precision medicine-based biological approach to diagnosing Parkinson's. So it's great to chat with you, Raj, with this, and hopefully you found this session educational, and thank you all for joining us.